Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Well, let's talk about a team that's back on the road, and that is Penn State playing at Nebraska. Ben Jones joins us, statecollege.com. Ben, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, that was a little different last night. What did you think in watching how that one played out?
I mean, I think in the long run, it's everything we knew about both of these teams, which is Penn State's only got so much size on the interior. It doesn't shoot it quite as well from outside on the road. Zach Edey is very good. The players around Zach Edey are very confident because they know they've got a human vacuum cleaner to make up for any mistakes that they might make. So, you know, to me, there are games every season where you go, well, this is just is what it is. And Purdue is very, very good. There's a reason why they've only lost one game. Penn State, I think, to their credit, managed to hang around at times more than some teams may have against this Purdue team. So, you know, is it a red flag? Not at all. Did it convey and express everything we already knew about both of these teams? I think so. And that's why you play 30 games instead of 12, because some nights you're just not going to have the matchup advantage.
Well, let's face it, going into the week, I'm sure people thought if Penn State, quote, could split the week, this was not the game they were thinking of in terms of splitting the week.
Yeah, exactly. And I even wrote, when you look at, you know, there's no nights off in the Big Ten, as they always say, but I think you look at the back half of Penn State's schedule, it's a little bit more friendly. You looked at this week and said, look, you've got Michigan, you've got Purdue. They could lose both of those games and it wouldn't be the end of the world. But if they could split, they'd be good with that. And like you said, you know, when you said, you know, they're going to split this week, nobody was picking last night to be the game that they got the win out of. So, you know, I think it's just you move on and you learn a little bit about yourself and go, you know, thank God you might not have to play Purdue again this year.
You know, it's interesting. The Wooden Award late season watch list came out, and Jalen Pickett is on there. As you've watched him, what have you liked about him, Ben?
I think it's just that he's good at everything. I mean, you know, I have loved watching him in the post-up sort of position. I joked earlier in the year that it was sort of funny that somehow Jalen Pickett was working himself into the conversation as one of the better big men in the league as well, just because of how he plays. Obviously, he's not that size, but just kind of, you know, back to the basket stuff. His assists have been great. His rebounding has been good. I think his assist to turnover ratio has been phenomenal. Obviously, the national rankings there bear that to fruit. And I give him a lot of credit, too. I think I tweeted this last night that, you know, Jalen sort of picked up the three-point shot that Lamar Stevens was hoping to get his last year. And I think Jalen has historically been a little bit better of a three-point shooter than Lamar ever really was. But, mm-hmm. you know, that was not early in the year necessarily part of Jalen's game. And I'd say the last however many games or so, it has really been a part of something that you have to respect a little bit more, because he was sort of a guy that could do everything, but that outside shot wasn't necessarily where you were expecting them to hurt you from. And he's making enough of them now that I'd say you have to respect him a little bit more, and he certainly got the confidence to shoot him. So, yeah, I don't think that, you know, you can really say anything bad about Jalen Pickett's game, and he certainly deserves to, whether or not he wins the award, he certainly deserves to be on that list for as long as he can.
Right. I think we've seen a lot of pluses and minuses because they have now played to this stage 22 games, so they're two-thirds of the way through the regular season. Is there anything about this team that you think is underrated?
I mean, I think if you look at some of these games, they haven't shot the ball well. I think that for the most part, they've given themselves the opportunity to win on the defensive end, just from the perspective of they're not giving up 80 points a night. They're not you know, they're not always shooting well, but you look at the Michigan game that they lost, they gave up 79. You look at, you know, Purdue at the Palestra, obviously that's sort of a different situation. They give up 76, Wisconsin 63, Rutgers 65. You know, these are games where you go, if you're holding people to 65 to 75 points, you're going to have a chance in most nights. So I think for me, their defense is maybe a little bit underrated. You know, and I think that that's given them the opportunity to say, you know, we can win any given night. Certainly, yes, because they can shoot the three really well and they can score in bunches when they have to sometimes. But, you know, they're not playing shootouts. This isn't Jim Ferry against Jim Ferry. We're not, you know, racing to 120 sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think Penn State gets some credit there, being a bit better defensively than maybe some people realize.
When you, the Big Ten is the only conference in America that is big man centric. You know, when you see this, and then you does it correlate maybe to the lack of success in the tournament they've had because they are so big man centric and the rest of the country is not?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some truth to that. I mean, I think the hard part is that you look at a team like Purdue that obviously sort of has the quintessential big man.
Sure.
And most everybody can't do anything about Zach Edey, but you don't have to if you're better at doing what Penn State does than Penn State was last night. If you can hit threes, if you can space the floor well, if you can be a threat from all sorts of places, I mean, that's sort of like what Michael Shrewsbury said at the beginning of the year, that you'll trade threes for twos, you know, all year long. So, you know, I do think there's something to be said for that. There's probably a reason why, you know, you even look at in the NBA that there's really two premier big men and then a lot of other really good guys. And, you know, unless Joel Embiid comes out in a Purdue uniform in the next couple weeks, you know, I think Purdue's very good. They're well coached. They do a lot of other things well. But I do think that there's probably a reason why the Big Ten has had, you know, success in the tournament, but maybe not to the level of success it has in the regular season. I also think it's probably part of the reason why, you know, Michigan State, Indiana, some of those programs have had more success in the postseason, because you don't really think of, or at least I don't, you think of Michigan State as a more guard-heavy sort of program. You know, they've had guys, you know, the Draymond Greens and what have you, that have played well in the interior, but they're not really anchored quite the same way, and I think they've had a little bit more success because of it.
Well, Joel Embiid's a great big man in the NBA, but he can shoot threes. I mean, and that changes everything, because he can do that. If he could not shoot threes, I'm not so sure he would be as dominant as he is. In fact, he can step out and shoot him. That means he fits in with the game that they play at that level.
Yeah, and that's very true. I mean, I think there's no question that Joel's, you know, mid-range game, he's as much an elbow player as he is a post-up guy. His ability to shoot three-pointers. I mean, basically, from what we've seen out of Michael Henn the past few games, you know, he's just a few steps away and a few pounds from becoming Joel Embiid. So, you know, I mean, I'm joking, obviously, but yeah, I mean, you have to have a well-rounded skill set to be a successful big, and, you know, I don't think I've seen Zach Edey shoot a three in his career. I'm sure there's been a moment when he has, but yeah, that's a big skill set you have to pick up if you want to be successful at the next level.
Football, they signed one player in the late signing period. That gives them 23. What's your gauge on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done a good job so far, or you know, really in this 23 class that's now obviously, you know, pretty much all on campus, is, you know, they've addressed their needs. They went on the offensive line, they went at linebacker, they went at defensive line, you know, and they got guys that they wanted. And, you know, you look up and down, I pulled it up now, you know, you look up and down this class and it's, you know, a lot of guys that could be the best player in the class a few years down the road. So, you know, I think that, you know, the second signing period has been sort of the go shopping for whatever else you need, and I think they did a good job with that the other day. But I think if you look at this class at large, and really the trend that they've set over, you know, the next couple of years with some of these early commitments, getting guys on the offensive line, you know, I don't think it's a mystery to anybody at this point over the last 10 years that if there's anything you could snap your fingers and give Penn State to have at an elite level on a consistent basis to change the outcome of some of these games, it would be an offensive line. So I think, you know, they've been able to get quality offensive line talent. Will it all pan out? Don't know. But, you know, the more chances that you have to find guys that are going to be good for you, the more chances you have of finally finding those guys. And I think with the momentum they have on the offensive front last year and going into next year, that helps them on the recruiting trail to say, look, you know, not only were we talking about how good our offensive line can be, it's finally starting to be that good. And I think at the end of the day, if you're a football player, if you're a player for any sport, you want to see guys that can develop your position and get you to the next level. And I think Penn State's starting to be able to do that, and it's paying off on the recruiting trail.
I was on a show in Omaha this morning, and they asked about the Big Ten potentially scrapping divisions and going 1 through 16. And so I asked them rhetorically, I said, if you're an athletic director under that scenario, is finishing sixth good enough? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge because I think if you're Penn State, it's not going to matter how you rank in the Big Ten. It's going to matter who you beat. You know, I think that Penn State's challenge right now is, can you beat Ohio State? Can you beat Michigan? And now, right. You know, can you beat USC and whatever exactly that looks like? I think that there is definitely an argument for a lot of different reasons for scrapping divisions. I also think there were a lot of good reasons why divisions became a thing. I think probably more in favor, thinking off the top of my head, of a situation where they rebalance them and protect some crossovers so we don't miss out on some of the things that make the Big Ten great. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the playoffs look like, how the distribution of conferences look like. But from an expectation standpoint, I think if you're Penn State, especially on the football front, obviously here, you know, I think you're going to have a hard time selling to people, yes, it's 1 through 16 or 1 through whatever the number ends up being. But, you know, I think you're going to have a hard time convincing many people that worse than fourth is going to be good any given year. Now, you know, you and I have spent a lot of time around Penn State fans. They're passionate folks, and that doesn't always mean they're right. Yeah. But at the same time, yeah. I think there's an argument to be said if you're Penn State football, you know, you can rank them however you want, but you better be in that top echelon when it's all said and done.
Ben, thanks so much. Really appreciate the time today, as always.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.